Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to The Disappearing Mind podcast. This is your host, Dawn Platt. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Always happy to have you as we talk about the dementia journey, the path of the dementia journey. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking to you about the global deterioration scale or the seven stages of dementia and how that relates to you, why that's important. Here on the podcast, we try and roll out information that's going to help you in the dementia journey in the stages of understanding. No matter if you're just someone who is curious about dementia because you may know of people, or you're just curious because you're concerned maybe that you might develop dementia. Maybe you are someone who has been diagnosed with dementia, or maybe you're a caregiver who is taking care of someone with dementia. Dementia has impacted pretty much the world. It's rare to find someone who doesn't know someone or doesn't have a family member or an acquaintance who has been impacted by dementia. And so today on the podcast, I want to talk to you about the seven stages of dementia or seven stages of Alzheimer's disease, but I want to roll it out based on a tool that has been used in the United States for a very long time and how that tool lines up with diagnosis, how this tool can help you in your healthcare plan, in decisions, and just in your understanding in general. So let's go ahead and get into this. So today I want to talk to you about the global deterioration scale. Those of us in healthcare call it the GDS, also known as the Riseberg scale. It is a clinical tool that was developed by Dr. Barry Riseberg in 1982. It is used to assess the progression of cognitive decline in individuals with dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. The GDS is particularly valuable because it offers a clear framework for tracking the stages of cognitive decline. And you will talk about why that's important to you to kind of know and understand and really to plan care. But these stages, from normal aging to severe dementia, really helpful for clinicians and caregivers so that we can understand where a person falls on the spectrum and what kind of care or interventions may be appropriate at this time in their treatment. It provides us with some clear guidelines for caregivers and clinicians, ensuring that appropriate care and interventions are provided at each stage. So it really is that gauge that many healthcare professionals use to help in care planning for individuals who have dementia. So by understanding the global deterioration scale, we can better anticipate the needs of those in our care and respond to changes in cognitive function proactively. So we can anticipate where people are and kind of what's coming down the road, even though, as I have said many times, that people who have dementia are individuals. And when you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia. So individuals have different diagnoses and they display differing symptoms, although there is a wide range of symptoms that are common to most dementia. So let's talk about just a little bit about here, the overview. The global deterioration scale divides cognitive decline in seven stages. So ranging from no cognitive impairment to very severe cognitive impairment. And each stage corresponds to specific symptoms and challenges. And this is something that we use for care planning and support services that someone will require. The effectiveness of this tool that's been used since really 1982, very widely, especially across the United States, is that healthcare providers have relied on this tool to guide caregivers and make medical decisions because it provides a structured way to do a number of things. Number one, to track the disease progression. It gives us insight into how far the disease has advanced and what kind of care will be needed at each stage. Tracking the progression and the pace of the disease is really important in making healthcare decisions for doctors and for caregivers. There are types of dementia that progress much more rapidly or much more suddenly. And then there is the slower pace type disease. So this is really important to really determine where a person is at and how they're progressing. Tailoring interventions. So knowing the stage allows the provider and the caregiver to implement appropriate interventions at the time when they're needed. Whether it's cognitive exercises in the early stage to keep the brain active or a full-time caregiver in the later stages to help with dressing, bathing, grooming, and eating. These interventions can be mapped out and really be beneficial in the plan of care. Support family planning. So the global deterioration scale helps families understand what to expect and when they might need to transition to more comprehensive care. I use this scale tremendously in the life of my own care planning for my mother. I use this scale tremendously in the care of those that I serve and have supported and coached throughout the years, knowing what to anticipate and possibly when, and looking at options in advance so you're not left having to do that at a time when it becomes very difficult to do. Improved diagnosis. So by using the global deterioration scale, clinicians can accurately diagnose cognitive decline and determine if it's age-related or due to dementia. It's pretty clear when we get into this, you'll kind of see. Let's talk about the global deterioration stages and then how it correlates to what is commonly called the seven stages of Alzheimer's disease. I'm going to kind of give you both. They flow hand in hand. Many of you have probably heard or maybe even said that my loved one is in stage five. Or those kinds of things. And so let's talk about what that means, what you might be saying, or maybe what you might need to know. So stage one is really no cognitive decline. For the GDS, there's no sign of cognitive impairment and there's normal functioning. For the person who actually has Alzheimer's disease, at this point, they're living pretty independently. There's no seen apparent impairment. The person functions normally with no memory issues, even though they have Alzheimer's disease. And we don't truly know how long someone has it before it's apparent. We know in what stages it becomes apparent, but we don't always know how long it's been there. When you look back, you begin to put things together over the years, especially if somebody has passed, when you started seeing changes. But at that time, they weren't really important enough for you to notice or apparent enough for you to notice. And so this is what really important. Then we move into stage two. So in stage two, this is very mild cognitive decline. This is something that you might see in age-associated memory impairment. Very mild cognitive decline. You might see it where somebody's just forgetting something, but they recall it. But on the global deterioration side, minor forgetfulness, such as forgetting names or where items are placed, often attributed to normal aging. For goodness sakes, it's contributed to stress and a lot of other factors that we see as well. In Alzheimer's disease, this very mild decline, individuals might notice occasional memory lapses, but nothing that really affects their daily functioning ongoing. This stage may not be noticeable to others. For instance, the person may feel like something's not all there or not like it used to be, but they may not even mention it to you or anyone else. Stage three is where we see mild cognitive decline. We see this term a lot now. It's used more prevalently than it's ever been used. Mild cognitive impairment simply means that memory lapses become noticeable to others. They're not just noticeable to the person. This stage may not signal the onset of early Alzheimer's disease or any other disease. It just is noticeable. Something's changed. In Alzheimer's disease, this is the early stage of Alzheimer's. This is where early stage is kind of identified here. We may not have a diagnosis here. We may, but we may not. But friends and family and coworkers kind of notice some issues with memory, planning, or organization is going on with the person. And this individual may struggle with recalling recently learned information, organizing tasks, or making decisions, but it may not. This person may still be in their career. And I've had this happen multiple times. We call that stage three, mild. And then in stage four, we're into moderate cognitive decline. And this is what we call mild dementia here in stage four. On the global deterioration scale, there are clear signs of cognitive decline that are affecting daily life, such as managing finances or remembering personal history. Usually this is the point where we get some sort of diagnosis. Even if that diagnosis is mild or moderate cognitive decline, this is usually where we get it because we're looking at what's going on here. In Alzheimer's disease, this person is forgetting recent events. They're definitely struggling with complex tasks, writing checks, following recipes, anything with multiple instructions. They are probably experiencing difficulty with social and work situations, not probably doing well in those areas. They may begin to become more withdrawn or have trouble with daily tasks, again, preparing meals, paying bills, normal routines, remembering their medication. All of this is right here. This is the telltale sign here in stage four that something is really off and it's not something that's going away. Stage five, we're into moderately severe cognitive decline. We call it moderate dementia. In the global deterioration scale, this person has significant memory loss, especially around personal details like phone numbers or addresses. They begin to require assistance with most daily activities of some sort, whether it's prompting, cueing, or actually doing it. We really see this here. In Alzheimer's disease, this is modern Alzheimer's disease, memory loss becomes more pronounced and the person may no longer be able to function independently at all. They may forget their personal history, become confused person, place, and time, need help again with daily tasks, hygiene, those kinds of things. By the time we get into six here, and there is no time limit on these stages, I will tell you, I wish I could say, the middle stages seem to be the longest stages, but we don't really have a parameter, and those environmental factors and premorbid health factors do contribute to how long someone stays in this stage, but really it is not necessarily measurable. Stage six is severe cognitive decline. It's what we call moderately severe dementia. In the global deterioration scale, there are major gaps in memory here. They may have difficulty recognizing family members. They're definitely having some personality changes. This person definitely requires extensive assistance with daily living. Again, in the Alzheimer's disease, it's moderate to severe. They have loss of awareness and are confused to their surroundings. They're forgetting names, maybe even close loved ones, experience significant changes in behaviors and personality, and they're needing help with everyday life and activities. Stage seven is the last stage of the global deterioration scale. There is very severe cognitive decline. They're well into severe dementia, and this is the end of life here in stage seven. They lose their abilities. They may not communicate at all. Their motor functions may go. They are completely dependent in this severe stage. And again, someone with Alzheimer's disease will often lose control and movement. They could lose speaking, swallowing ability. They may fall very frequently. They're very vulnerable to infections, physical deterioration, and perhaps they could be bedridden. This person needs around-the-clock care at this point when they're in stage seven. Both the global deterioration scale and the seven stages of Alzheimer's disease, as we know it here in the United States, both describe the same progression of cognitive decline. The global deterioration scale provides a more structured clinical tool where the person is along the journey, and each stage corresponds to the Alzheimer's disease, helping clinicians, caregivers, and families to understand the extent of cognitive impairment that a person is having and anticipate their future needs. While the global deterioration scale can be applied to different types of dementia, it is used specifically to track Alzheimer's disease progression. And it's important to kind of understand this path and journey. Not that you'll go through in any order these stages, and not that you'll hit every one of these stages, because maybe that won't happen, but it's a highly effective tool for understanding and tracking cognitive decline, particularly in Alzheimer's disease. It will provide clear guidelines for healthcare professionals as well as caregivers in planning and providing interventions at each stage. By understanding the global deterioration scale, you can kind of see in the future and better anticipate the needs of those in your care. The summary here of the global deterioration scale really is in three stages, like we've talked about overall with Alzheimer's disease. Stages 1 through 3 are really going to be your mild to early cognitive decline. Stages 4 and 5 are your moderate, what we call moderate. Definitely that's where we're going to get our diagnosis. We're going to get here's what's happening kind of thing. And then stages 6 to 7 are severe dementia characterized by extreme memory loss, loss of motor skills, complete dependency on caregivers. So that's the overall. It's important to know and understand there are many tools at our disposal and that we can talk to our physician about in the 7 stages of Alzheimer's disease that will help us as caregivers. But there are questions I think that people have, and I've written down some of the common questions, frequent questions that people ask in and around these stages, because there'll be some family members that just will tell you what stage their loved one's in, and then others that really don't understand what that means. And so they'll ask questions, but what are the early signs of Alzheimer's and how do they relate to the stages? It's important that identifying early stages of Alzheimer's disease can help in early intervention. Provide that person and their family with the time to plan. Make personal decisions for the future. It's early stage interventions can slow the progression or help a person live more quality of life, maintain independence for a longer period of time when we're aware. And this stage allows families to explore care options, legal planning, and support systems. This is the time. Typical questions in and around this is might be, how do I tell if my forgetfulness is normal aging or Alzheimer's? That's clearly written. I've talked about it on the podcast. There are many resources, including the Alzheimer's Association, that compare a chart with normal aging versus Alzheimer's. What should I do if I notice early signs in a loved one? Reach out to your physician. Don't let this go by. Talk to your family about it. And then when should we seek medical diagnosis? Well, you may not get there that first stage or even the second, but before you get to the third, you really want to get some intervention. It's just going to be helpful for you and for the family to make better decisions. And we'll make the whole process easier. I can't tell you how many families have said to me, if I had only known the benefits of being in this support group, I never knew. I would have done it different. I would have come earlier. And that may not be you, but it may be you. You can always go and seek out a support group. If it's not your time or it's not your thing, you can drop out. But it may be more beneficial than you think. So seek it early as you can, and then make your decisions from there. What happens in the middle stages of Alzheimer's disease, and what kind of support? The global deterioration scale, the cognitive scale, really kind of defines what the expectations should be. Your loved one, and most people, do go into a stage of denial, or may go into a stage of denial, let me say that, where they don't think they need help. But remember, that's the dementia talking, and they're no longer able to process whether they need help or not. It's part of the disease. So this is where you want to make these things early, how honest discussions about it. When will my loved one start needing more help with basic tasks? When you know and understand these stages, it can help you make those determinations. How do I create a safe and supportive environment at home? understanding these stages are going to be critical in your care plan. What behavioral changes occur in the later stages? People are very concerned about behavioral changes, and they can be overwhelming if you're not prepared and you don't understand that it's the dementia, not your loved one. Typical questions that I get, how do I handle mood swings, aggression, or confusion? Talking about that is going to make you much more equipped to do that, being able to handle that behavior. What do I do about preventing wandering or dangerous behavior? Important tools to have in your arsenal long before it ever occurs, if it does occur. How do physical abilities decline in the later stages? How should care be adjusted? The stages really help you define when and where that you're likely going to need that intervention. Questions I get, when will my loved one lose the ability to walk or eat independently? Well, no one can give a date or a time, but there are indications in the global deterioration scale kind of tells you where that might come into play so that you can be prepared. And then the big question, how long does each stage last? Alzheimer's disease affects individuals different. Knowing the general timeline allows you to plan for the future. I've talked to you about premorbid factors, environmental factors help support diet. All these things are going to influence how long each stage does last. And then what role do medical treatments and therapies play at each stage? Those are things that you will want to know, that you will want to understand as you flow through these stages. So all of these factors are coming into play as you look at each stage and where your loved one is. I think what's the best care setting at each stage? Again, that is something to talk with your healthcare provider about. It is something that the family needs to decide on. Who's going to be the caregiver? How many are going to be the caregiver? Are we going to hire care? Are we going to bring them into the home? Are we going to look at assisted living, memory care, or a nursing home, which can be very expensive, especially a nursing home? What do we do to improve quality of life at each stage of the disease? I think there are a number of reasons why I wanted to cover this today and to really talk about this. And education and knowledge is power. And I want my audience to be empowered to make good decisions, to understand what you could be facing and understand better what some of the options you are to make good decisions for that person that you love. And those are personal decisions. I don't try and tell you what to do. However, I do try and guide you and make you think about what could be and what the options are, that so you and your loved one can have the best care possible and live a quality life. So why do I feel like understanding the stages is important for you and for care planning? There are a number of reasons that I want to just point out as we conclude today in this podcast, but understanding the 7 stages of Alzheimer's disease or related dementias is critical for care planning. There is no cure for this disease. There is treatment. However, the current treatment is only effective in certain people in the earlier stages. But there are many quality of life decisions that will impact the care and the quality of life that your loved one lives, and even if that's you. And I think that having the knowledge and the best options that you can have available and making good decisions that are personalized for your family and for you, these are your decisions to make, will be better than not knowing what you're facing, not understanding what could happen. Here are the reasons why I felt like this was important today. Tailoring care and having the knowledge to address each stage as it comes with its specific challenges and recognizing that these may or may not happen is going to give you a better outcome and empower you to deal with the evolving needs that will come on this dementia journey. Safety and support, paramount. As this disease progresses, the risk of accidents, wandering, or self-neglect increases. It's so sad when people meet their demise long before they should, just simply because they're not safe or they don't have good care. And I want you to be aware of some of these safety issues that you may not think about, but will make a difference in the quality of life of the person living with dementia. Resource allocation. The resources you have are going to make or limit what you're able to access as far as care goes. Know quickly what those are. Have them in order so that if you need to transition someone into a care facility or you need extra help in the home, that you know that that's in order and you can make those decisions. Emotional preparation. Understanding the progression of disease helps family members emotionally prepare for the changes in their loved one's memory, personality, and abilities. I really can't say this enough, but your emotional stability will make all the difference in the course of care for your loved one. You are the one making the decisions. You're maybe the one giving all the care. Your emotional preparation, understanding what could be, will make a world of difference than if you are overwhelmed and presented with crisis time after time that you just were not prepared for. So I think that this is really important. And then medical decision making, the knowledge of the stages and deciding when to pursue more care or aggressive treatments, when to switch to comfort care begins in the beginning. When to choose hospice care. I am a big supporter of hospice care at stage 6-7. Very, very important. Something that I myself utilized, and I recommend that to all of my friends and those that I coach. Very, very important. So understanding these 7 stages through the global deterioration scale, through the 7 stages of Alzheimer's disease, will help you as a caregiver and a family member, not only to understand and be educated, but to prepare for the future, including emotional, practical, and financial challenges that will be ahead on this dementia road, this dementia journey. And I believe that through knowing these things will allow you to better respond to these changes and to provide you and your loved one, your person with dementia, a better quality of life. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that this discussion will impact you, will bring some knowledge to you that maybe you didn't have before. Please share this with your friends and family, a neighbor who may be going through the dementia road. Visit our resource page on thedisappearingmind.com. Check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. Like and subscribe, share, and until next time, I really appreciate you joining the podcast. This is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Visit our website to suggest future topics and share the podcast with friends and family.